Isaiah chapter 43, starting from verse 1, Harrison. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom, etc. Down to verse 5. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from the east and west. I will say to the north and the south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together. Assemble the people of the world. Keep going down. I'm going to pick up verse 11. I am the Lord, and there is no other Saviour. First I predicted your rescue, then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Going down, I'll just go to 15 because it's easy to find. I'm the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I'm the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smouldering candle wick. But forget all that. Verse 18. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. There's so many promises there, church, for us tonight that I want us just to spend a little bit of time looking at and pondering as we join together. I've got to open my iPad, which I haven't yet done. Here we go. Did you know that 90% of New Year's resolutions fail? Have you ever made a New Year's resolution? Have you ever managed to hold on to it for the whole year? A lot of people do try all sorts of things, don't they? I gave up after the first 3 years of making them and being disappointed in my failures. And I thought, well, I'm not going to set myself up again. I don't think I've ever made one again. But sometimes you hear of people wanting to give up chocolate for a year. Have you ever given up chocolate for a year? No. 8 months? Are you doing it this year? No. You did it for 8 months, but you didn't do it for a year. You did it for 8 months. 14 kilos. What, 14? Anyway. And I remember Emily O'Brien gave up cheese for a year. I don't know why. Why cheese? I'm not sure. But what, just recently, David bought me a new bike. It's very exciting because it's very blue and it even has mud guards, and I've put a basket on it. Isn't that cool? Put a basket on it. It does have a bell. It has a bell and a basket and mud guards, and I feel very cool on it and I really like it. There's something about the new thing. There's something about a new year. There's something about a new job. There's something about a new house. There's something about a new church. There's something about a new thing that is exciting, isn't it? Maybe it's the smell of it. Maybe it's the fact that no one's ever used it before. But there's something definitely about the new thing. Whatever it is, we're attracted to it, to its shine and its sparkle. And maybe it's the possibility of something new to come. Has anyone had anything new recently that's been exciting for them? I'm sure you have. You have? A new shop. Congratulations, Simon. and you need to go check it out on Collins Street opposite Drysdale hospitality thingy. So if you're into guitars, are you going to go out beyond guitars? A little musical? What is it? Cheese? Guitars? So check it out. Go in there and hassle him. Started a new little venture there with his guitar selling, his online business, which has been obviously been going well. So we've got a little shop in Hobart now called Top Shelf Instruments. Is that it? Hashtag, look it up, follow. It's easier to make a New Year's resolution than to keep it. It's easier to get excited about a new bike than it is to look after it for the long term. Isn't it funny? You get something new and you think, oh, it's never going to get a scratch on it. It's never going to get anything that's going to, you know, like I'm going to keep it this neat and this nice forever. But really, the truth is when the rubber hits the road and we've made our New Year's resolution, we're actually probably comfortable with our too comfortable with our extra kilos to bother sticking to the resolution that we might have made about running every day. I'm not into resolutions because I don't like the feeling of letting myself down. I don't like to think that I haven't been able to do it. It's nearly as bad as letting someone else down, yeah? But I want to talk to us tonight about the new thing. We're obviously coming. I just want to qualify right now because we've talked a lot about our building and that's cool. We need to talk about our building. But I really get a sense that God wants to do a new thing, not just in us as a church, and a new building is such an obvious thing to see there, but he wants to do a new thing in our lives. He wants to actually take what we have and give it a shake. And I don't know about you, but I've had quite a lot of a shake in the last little while. And I just know that God wants to use that and take us on a journey of change. Even that word can sometimes conjure fear in people, as Jen has so beautifully pointed out tonight. So, you know, who loves change? Yeah? I'm a change person. Who likes routine? You can be both, I reckon. I don't like routine. In fact, the idea of routine and doing the same thing every day freaks me out. Like I think I would rather do nearly anything than do exactly the same thing every day. And but everyone is in a different place with that. So when I say change, for some people it's like, oh, that's cool. I like that. That's cool. That's exciting. And for other people it's, oh no, that sounds exhausting. It sounds really scary. And just like the difference between Simon and Jen's kids, you know, we all have different reactions to that. And so when I say God is doing a new thing in us, don't be afraid and shut down and think, oh, gee, that's just too much for me. Because I really believe that he wants us to literally be unrecognisable in a year's time, in unrecognisable in our attitudes and the way we see ourselves, and to be able to move on and forget the former things. And that's in the verses that I just read, Isaiah 43. It says, forget all that. Forget all that. So God has just listed all of the things he did for the children of Israel. He did so many things. He fulfilled great promises and led them through incredible times of change and breakthrough and a journey that took 40 years that should have taken, you know, only a few weeks. And he led them and he was faithful to them and he fed them. And then he says, but forget all that. Forget all that. How do you forget all that? Because it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. And I want to encourage us tonight. You feel like you've seen it all, perhaps? When you've been around a while, you start to feel like you've seen it all. You know, oh, I've seen that. Yeah, we did that back in the 90s. I've seen that. Yeah, we tried that. But it's like, forget all that, because I'm going to do something new. And I want you to receive that tonight and to be open to that tonight and not shut down through fear of what that new thing might be. I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Don't you see it? And I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. God is into the new thing as much as he's into the past, or what he's done in the past, or what he's established in the past. And I don't think the new thing necessarily negates what has happened in the past. The past is so important to us because it's where we see God's faithfulness. It's the monument to God's faithfulness. And so often when I pray for people, God will say to that person, you know, remember that I've been faithful to this point and I will continue to be. And I think the older I get, the more I realise that to be true, because I can honestly see that, see the hand of God in my life and through the church's life. And I can remember as a young leader in the church, you know, someone would resign and you'd think, everything's going to collapse. Everything's going to fall over. But every single time, God has found a new way through, a new pathway. And it's amazing how he continues to do that. But the past is not to be despised, and the past is not to be forgotten or just mocked or laughed at. The past is a fantastic cornerstone and a foundation for us to build into the future. He knows that we're attracted to the new thing. But let's look at what God says about new things, because it might be a little bit different than what you think. See, point number one is that he says, forget all that. At first read, these words might suggest that the Israelites should forget the past, sweep it under the carpet, look forward and not back. But in fact, when reading in contrast, perhaps a better translation might be, as well as all that. As well as all these fantastic miracles and things that I've done, as good as they were, and remembering those things and building upon those things, behold what I'm about to do. And I encourage you tonight, regardless of your past, for some people the past can nip at their heels, you know, come nip at your heels, the past mistakes, the past attitudes, the things you've said. I sometimes literally wake up in the night remembering something that I said 10 years ago, and I shudder. I shudder in my bed and David thinks there's an earthquake. Do you ever do that? I suddenly remember something that I did years ago and I think, oh, for goodness sake, Alex, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Now, they're the things we need to move on from, unless there's an apology required or perhaps we need to revisit for another reason. But the enemy will always want to point out the things we've done wrong, the errors that we've made, the mistakes that we've made. And provided that we've done all, you know, our due diligence on those things and apologised or made the changes or whatever it is, I'm not suggesting that we ignore that. It's time to move on and to tell the enemy, you know what, I've dealt with that. And God has changed my heart in that. And God has healed me of that. And leave those things behind. Forget the former things and move on. But some things we need to remember. We need to remember those moments when God was faithful. We need to remember those times where he promised and he brought us through, and those times of joy and those times of breakthrough. It's so important to honour that and respect that and respect the decisions of, you know, our forefathers, so to speak. Maybe it's leaders that have gone before us. Maybe it's literally our parents that have made choices and decisions which sometimes we can struggle with as we grow up, but in hindsight we look back and it's good to remember those things. But God says, as well as those things, I want to do so much more. I want to do more in you and I want to do more through you. We don't need to run from our past. Instead, we can embrace God's faithfulness through those experiences, allowing him to build us in us through those experiences a stronger foundation for the future. Yeah? He says, it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. I am about to do a brand new thing. So the new thing is not actually necessarily a new thing, because he's already begun it in you. He's already begun it in you. And through your life, God has been establishing himself. He's been establishing himself as faithful, and he's been establishing himself in you and through you, so that the new thing is actually a continuation of the past. And point number two is that it's already begun. Sometimes we focus so hard on that which is to come that we forget to appreciate what has already begun. God's new way is about building on that which he's already established in us. Every experience, every heartache and hurt and every disappointment doesn't need to be swept under the carpet. The learned experiences need to be the foundation on which to build. And the things that God's forged in us and changed in us are the foundation for us. And so God has actually already begun a new thing in you. It's not round the corner. He's already begun it. Because sometimes we can sort of think, you know, when's it my turn to step up? When's it my turn to step in? But your time is now, and your time has already, your ride has already begun. The journey has already begun. Your ticket is still valid, and you are on the ride of your life. And point number three, do you not see it? He's building a pathway. He's building a pathway. It's not a beginning. It's not an end. It's a pathway. And the beginning and the end, who knows where the end is of any season or any experience that we have. It's a pathway. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's a pathway. We don't dwell here, we don't camp, and we don't call it quits on this pathway that God is opening up and developing in us. We can simply consider it a pathway and a season. It's interesting, isn't it? Because quite often when I come to church, I'll just be honest, when I come to church or when I come along to something or go, I can feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. And I think, you know, if only people knew what I was carrying tonight. And then I start to talk to people and hear the heart of people, and I find that others are in that same situation as well. And so often we're all carrying so much. We're all walking with the weight of the world on our shoulders. And someone said to me this morning, you know, there's always a new season. And I thought, isn't that right? And we sort of, sometimes we can sort of get lost in thinking, if only this season would end. If only this season would end and I can finally have my day in the sun. But, you know, God has actually got us on a journey and a pathway. And I actually think we continue to go from season to season, and there's learning, there's difficulty, and there's joy in every one of them. But just as God builds a pathway for his people, he builds a pathway for us. And perhaps we shouldn't be thinking, I will do this or I will do that, but perhaps, what will God do in me? What is God doing in and through me on this pathway? To build a pathway in us and to build a pathway for others. You see, a pathway is about lots of different people. It's not just about us. There's people that go before us and people that walk after us. But God said he's building a pathway for us to continue on. What's your pathway tonight? Let me read to you again. Where are we? Don't be afraid. From the start. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. And I want to encourage you tonight, whatever pathway you're on, whatever part of the journey you're in, whatever season you find yourself, God has been faithful and will continue to be faithful. Can I have perhaps a guitar to join us? Because I want to spend some time tonight praying for this, because I can't call the keyboard. I can't call the keyboard player because there is no keyboard player. So the guitar would be the one. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia, etc. Verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from east and west, and I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from distant corners of the earth. God is doing a new thing in us tonight. God wants to do a new thing in us as a church, but in us as individuals. And I want to encourage you to embrace that. I want to encourage you to own that and to be open to the Lord. And we're going to spend some time just in worship, just asking God to speak to our hearts, asking God to whisper into our souls. Sometimes it's easier to build a new fence than to scrape down, putty up, undercoat and paint the old one. You know, sometimes we think that the new thing should be just a rejection of what we already have. But God sometimes wants to do a work in us. New paint, perhaps. Scrape down, putty up, undercoat. I've had a lot of scrape down, putty ups and undercoats. I don't know about you. But it's not always about purchasing something that's brand new. It's not always about escaping from the past and actually to discover a new thing. You know, so many people get caught in that pattern of, you know, I'll just find a new church and then everything will work out, or I'll just go to a different youth group because someone looked at me the wrong way. And it's easy to get caught in that pattern. But let's just take a moment to worship God and allow Him to perhaps scrape down, putty up, undercoat and paint the fence of who we are.